So part of my job is to just describe the contributions of Lynn, which for me just happens to be in conjunction with the LEDBP program for training clinicians. And I come from a very medical standpoint, as do, of course, all the other MDs. But during our fellowship, we work with several different kinds of trainees. The ones that are highlighted are the ones that I come in contact with during the typical rotations as part of my medical fellowship. Our fellowship is pretty much divided into thirds, about a third research, a third that's straight developmental pediatrics and a more developmental pediatric clinic, and then a third that is exposure to a variety of other clinics like neurology, psychiatry, genetics. And so in the course of those clinics, I do come in contact with psychology, nursing, social work, speech-language therapy, nutrition, and genetic counseling pretty regularly. However, even though I read a ton of occupational therapy and physical therapy evaluations, we don't, in our clinic setting, have a lot of opportunity to work closely with those providers. And then health administration, audiology, and I've left off this list, special education, are some that are, we have similar goals, yet we don't interact with them on a daily basis. And so LEND most certainly gives us an opportunity to work with both educators in these fields and trainees in these fields as well. Part of the LEND program is called Solution Focused Learning, and this is a series of meetings that is family focused, and a family comes in as a group, we do an interview, which is very interesting because we're used to doing medical interviews, and so to have physical therapists and social workers participating in this group interview can be quite enlightening. There's sometimes when things I never would have thought of asking are brought up and considered major issues. I never would have known it, even for the families that I've been in contact with in from a medical standpoint for quite some time. The purpose of a lot of the solution-focused learning is not only to learn about the families and whatever disability their child may have, or sometimes be suspected of having, but also to find out what psychosocial risk factors or even difficulties that the families are engaging. It's probably the most interesting part for me are the families that I've seen in clinic and actually refer to LEND and then seen in the LEND setting, and to see some of the other things that come up, and then also to hear about how the families like perceive their visits at the developmental clinic. Most of the time when a child comes in the developmental clinic, we do an assessment that is quite a long assessment, pretty much takes all day, includes social worker, medical, psychology, and speech. These are usually the disciplines we have involved. And sometimes just to hear the families describe what their take-home message was for that child can be very interesting and make you realize that, oh, that wasn't quite what I meant to say. Maybe I need to phrase that a little differently. Or they're not taking home the key features of what's going on with this child. It pushes a lot of the clinicians kind of out of their natural environment, and so you're encouraged to ask and then to research topics which are not in your field of study. And so as a medical provider, if we had a child with Down syndrome, trisomy 21, that would be a topic I would not be encouraged to take on. Rather, I'd be encouraged to take on maybe a specific therapy protocol or a larger program such as Title V or early intervention, something that I may be familiar with but not intimately associated with, and that's not typically part of my background or training program. At the end of the interview with the family, we come up with learning issues, and generally while we're doing the interview, someone's writing those issues down, and we're, and as students, you're encouraged to take a topic or two, learn about it, and then you present it to the other students in a week or two, depending on the arrangement. And at the end, we come up with a family feedback session and give them the information. Sometimes families have very specific questions, like, how how do I obtain this service in my area? And sometimes it's a little more vague or less defined as far as what the family would like to see or what questions they have. Some of our families are very, very well educated and very plugged into the system, very proactive families, and some aren't. And we've had a family before, a very proactive family. The teenager last year, he's like, now my dad not know about this before now. she was not upset at us, but upset at the fact that no one had brought these opportunities or issues to her attention. And her son was a teenager at that point. From the other portion of, another portion of Lynn are clinical experiences. And so there's a whole variety of clinics, and we actually give the students a whole book that has, I don't remember how many different clinical opportunities they have right now.
About 16 or 17.
Yeah. And some of them are clinics that already exist. So the Autism Evaluation Clinic, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder Clinic, and High Risk Newborn Clinic, which is a clinic at our institution that follows babies discharged from the NICU who are at high risk for complications or illness. And then there's some other clinics that are more specifically associated with Lynn, such as the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder Clinics, Outreach Clinics, and the Preschool Language Program is at a university in the city, but students can go there. Some of the clinics are purely observational for the students that are not already integrated into those clinics, and so they just go and watch, for instance, a full autism evaluation, go with the family through the day. Other clinics are more specifically oriented around Lynn, and that's some of the outreach clinics and the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Clinic that are very interdisciplinary, bringing in just to see, sometimes it's for the fetal alcohol, very specific question or very specific evaluation, and sometimes it's broader depending on what the child's needs are. And a lot of them are interdisciplinary focused, especially the ones that are more Lynn-specific clinics. The ones that are pre-existing tend to be a little more observational. But I think that's okay, considering we're trying to incorporate students into both an educational and a clinical setting. Another part of Lynn is we do some lectures, some core topics, and we try to incorporate some core medical knowledge about developmental disabilities. Try to incorporate, I think the past 2 years at least, we've incorporated a family and their experiences into it, where a family will give a lecture on how they've obtained or tell their story in a more formal setting. And then one of the other big topics that we try to hit upon is the system navigation and system overview, which I don't know that you can do that in an entire lifetime, much less in a lecture, but at least try to give the students a sense of what families are trying to navigate through and the challenges they face. And then we have a variety of mini lectures that are 15 to 20 minutes, and they incorporate a variety of topics, some of which are less traditional, everything from sensory integration to the identity of culture, all sorts of interesting topics, and almost anything is open to be a mini lecture. And I brought a system overview and navigation because this is one of my favorite slides from one of my mentors in developmental pediatrics. So the green box is the family concerned about the child or a most likely a medical care provider. Pink is early intervention, which in Arkansas is called First Connections. And then yellow are the therapy providers. And so she uses this slide to illustrate all the different ways that the loop can break down. So the family, theoretically, should contact early intervention. At some point, they have to choose a provider to provide therapy for a child. Early intervention has to discuss payment and all their stuff with the therapy providers. They have to make sure the referral's in place. Then the therapy providers contact the family. They may have to have some more evaluations depending on that. And then the therapy providers have to relay that information to early intervention to finalize the appropriate therapies. and they have to submit the therapy plan and service plan. At the same time, early intervention is trying to work on an individual family service plan that's also communicated with the therapy providers. So we go through some of these just to try to emphasize to the students the circuitous nature of obtaining therapies, but that it is very possible and set up in a very specific manner for reasons and to try to optimize care for a child with some accountability in that loop. And then back to the family. But to also point out that for families who may have, the parents may have language impairments or may have limited literacy, that this whole circuit can be very confusing. And sometimes what the family needs is encouragement that yes, it's okay to call. Maybe they're afraid of offending a provider or doing something wrong. But to try to emphasize that at many times, this loop can break down, and encouraging the families and trying to figure out where it broke down can be important for the child. Some other benefits of LEND, there's a wide range of faculty. Earlier in the year, I wrote up an R grant and needed to find out what occupational therapy measure I should use to include in the grant, and could call up one of our occupational therapy faculty, and she could give me an answer in 10 minutes instead of going and searching through PubMed and trying to figure out and comparing. And especially with questions like that, there's nothing better than someone with experience to glean that information from. Also, a broader view of interactions. From a clinical standpoint, we see the patient in clinic. I don't see them very frequently, but a physical therapist or occupational therapist who sees the family on a daily basis or knows what these families are going through or challenges they're facing with the child on a regular basis may provide a broader view of what's going on, or the challenges facing families even to get the child to services on a regular basis. And then another more indirect benefit is that it gives you some knowledge of what their knowledge base is. And so for a long time, I was irritated when we'd get a referral from a school that said, with a child with obvious language impairment, that said, rule out Asperger's. And I'm like, no, that's not it. You can't have those. But that's not included in the common educational curriculum for most of the programs. And so a little bit of that insight sometimes helps clinicians figure out what else needs to be in report or what else needs to be communicated for providers to better understand what's going on with the child or why we disagree with the referral question. And so that's always been very interesting. It's also very interesting just to see what the understanding of some medical conditions are to non-clinicians. And all the time you hear on the news things that don't make sense, but to figure out where that comes from and what a little bit of knowledge, what you can build on, is quite useful. And I think it's helped me communicate a little bit better with various providers about what's going on, and to use language that they understand or things from their previous experience. Some of the challenges, basically the same source as some of the benefits. If you have people from a wide range of backgrounds, you have to figure out a common language and a common ground to start with. And that can be a little bit challenging. Luckily, solution-focused learning is set up to help you compensate, help you fill in the gaps in your knowledge, in your knowledge base, from someone else's perspective, and to learn about topics that you don't know about. And so I think although that's definitely a challenge, it's something that LEND itself is very attuned to and works to ameliorate a little bit. And then there's very different approaches to problems. The approach of a social worker to a family in need is very, very different than the approach of a medical provider. and extremely difficult from a therapist approach. I think sometimes, you know, the therapist in the more clinical disciplines tend to view things as what's the problem, what's the answer, but a lot of the other non-clinical programs have a much wider view and can sometimes help us understand the families a little bit better. I think that's all I have. Any questions or anything? I like Lynn. I've enjoyed it for the past, this is my third year, so.